Colossians 3, verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Right? He uses the word if. The word if there is a word that can be translated to mean since, because his usage of the word if is not a conditional statement. It's a way of asserting something using another term. So if I say, well, you know what, if you are truly the popular one from the Bible, right? If you're the son of God, do this, right? Or let's just say, because that one, Satan could just be lying, but he knew the truth anyways. If you are the if I own this computer I'm using right now, why don't I just simply press one or two buttons and get one person out of this place? You know, if I can do that, I can do that clearly, you know, and I'm the owner of this computer. So it's a way of saying something that is a fact. So if you are risen with Christ, because you had previously, you know, established that they are risen with Christ, we start from chapter 1, you know, talking about the fact that they have been called out of darkness and brought into the light of God, how that, you know, Jesus Christ is the, who's the image of God, has become the head, the first fruit amongst many brethren, and all of that. And it goes on to say, if you are then risen with Christ, then seek. So it's saying, since we are risen with Christ, we are to seek. When it says seek, it means be mindful, be concerned, be zealous about these things. So it says, seek those things which are above. Obviously, we know what above means. Above means the spiritual things, things that have to do with our relationship with God, right? Our relationship with God, knowing God via His Word. So seek those things which are above, be concerned about the things that are of God. All right? It says, set your affection. Alright, it further explains that set your affection, the word affection there is the word mind, on things above, that is on God's word, on the things of God, not on things on the earth. So it's placing an emphasis on where we should place our priority here on the earth. Okay, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ. So that means, it doesn't mean that we died somewhere, but it just means that we have received a new priority, which is greater than this ephemeral life. We are dead to this world and our life now counts with Christ. So when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Okay, give me a second, please. All right, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. The word mortify is the word put to death. It means to put to death, put to death. So it's an active, conscious thing. Put to death therefore your members. So somebody keeps asking, how do I focus on God? Is somebody saying something via chat here? All right, good. Thank you, Rachel. So, mortify is an active word. It's a conscious word, it's a deliberate word. Is a deliberate term to mortify, to put to death. Somebody says, oh, if I'm dead to Christ, why do I still like carnal things? Why do I still like things that distract me from God? Why am I so giving to natural things? Paul here says that you have to mortify. That's why in our evangelism, I'm always very careful about the words I use, like saying if you come to Christ, all your bad habits will stop and all of those things. You will just love God and, you know, he'll just make your heart. That can happen momentarily, but I must say the truth. If there's no active, deliberate action by that person, on that person's part, or somebody does not help him to make those decisions, guide him to make those decisions or how to make those decisions, and the person would live as though he is not really born again, you know. So it's an active thing to do here, to mortify your members, mortify, put to death your members. It's a figurative term that means you should actively shift your focus from being too concerned and mindful and affectionate about worldly matters, earthly things, things that dwell within the realm of your senses, your five senses, things that appeal to your taste, that appeal to your, you know, your feelings, that appeal to everything, you know, just your natural sensualities. You know, it's saying that we should shift our affection from those things. If you have a good job now, it makes you happy. Dear friends, I tell you the truth, I'm looking for the best. I'm not looking for just a normal job right now, but I know what it means to have good things in life. I love money. I think everybody here loves money. I think last week I had a word of knowledge for somebody, a word of prophecy. And I said, somebody here, God has laid in your heart to give. And nobody responded. Hallelujah. The love of money. That's a carnal affection. You know, you esteem carnal things above God's word for you. And that's, see, God is reminding you. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's a joke. But if you think it wasn't a joke, you can give. Praise God. So, mortify. Mortify is an active word. It's an active word to be used. All right? You mortify your members. It means it's a deliberate action. You know, Christian growth, or, you know, you being able to live the life to live the new life, or the life of Christ, or to live in God's purpose, it doesn't come naturally. You know, some new Christian preachers will say, oh, it just comes naturally, just flows. Yes, it flows naturally after there's a preceding unnatural or deliberate action towards that. So you have to allow God's spirit by you giving him free course. You have to allow God's nature to find expression in you by you giving it free course. How? By you are paying attention to heavenly things, spiritual matters. You know, if you're the kind of person that you feel like you have a weakness somewhere, Pastor Chris will say, anywhere that you say you have a weakness, it means that that place you have to address it with God's word. You know, you have to address it because it's an active thing. It's a conscious, deliberate thing. It says mortify, put to death, put to death. Oh, but I'm the head of all. Oh, no, Jesus is the head of all principalities. Sorry, I thought I'm the head and not the tail or something like that. I thought I'm a new creation. I thought I have God's spirit within me. I'm dead to sin and I'm alive in Christ. Why then do I still have such worldly concerns? Why am I so carnal? Why can't I enjoy God's word if there's no music on the background? Why can't I enjoy God's word if the musicians are not good musically? If the sound is bad, why can't I enjoy it? You know, why can't I enjoy it if the speaker is not fluent in his English or his native language? Why can't I enjoy God's word? You know, I was speaking with a friend and he's, you know, I'm musically inclined. I think some of you know that 100%. And this guy is also musically, in fact, he's an instrumentalist. And he told me that he doesn't like listening to somebody's messages. I'm sure you know the person. Because some of his messages are very, the sound is so, he can hear distortion. You know, that can I listen to that? Even the songs that he releases, they are not well produced. And I told him, I said, you are right in the sense that things can be done better, should be done better. Sound should be pure, sound should be clear, things should be done well, right? However, that should not be a hindrance. Do not let those things be a hindrance. You allowing those things to be a hindrance means you have become carnal. Yeah, that's the truth. You have become carnal. You have become carnal in your relationship with God or your conduct of your Christian life, your Christian conduct. You know, you have become carnal. Your affection, you must primarily be hinged, be placed, be tuned to things that are of God, the spiritual things. So set your affection it's a deliberate thing. Yeah. It has to be done by you. It has to be done by your will. Yeah. And this is how so many people give up on God. I can tell you so many examples, friends. You know, if you do not put an active word, this is not what I plan to preach. This is not what I plan to teach. But I'm just stopping here for a reason, by God's Spirit. You know, if there's no activity, if you do not properly do it, you know, when we're in school, we often complain. I know Rachel complains a lot. Oh, this work is cumbersome. You know, you cry. That, you know, there's so much to read, so much to do, and all of that. But you know, whether you like it or not, if you want to get that expertise, if you want to be better, obviously, if you don't just, it's not just about getting degrees and certificates, but if you want to be better, you have to really put your work into it. You have to be deliberate. You have to sometimes lose your sleep. Sometimes lose your sleep. You have to do it, whether you like it or not. You know, somebody recently gave me a website job to finish it in one day. I should design a website for you one day with chicken change. You know, but the thing is that whether I like it or not, I must do that work because money is involved. Yeah, because money is involved. What am I talking about? Carnal things in the midst of me talking about people not focusing on carnal things. But you see, the truth of the matter is, God wants us to realize that it has nothing to do with how you feel when it comes to spiritual growth or you reorienting your mind, or should I say, you know, changing your focus to focus on God. It doesn't come naturally. But I don't feel like going to church. I tell you that not most Sundays, well, there are Sundays that come that I don't want to go to church. There are Sundays I don't, because I have the keyboard, I have to take it, it's so heavy. I have a pain here on this shoulder because I'm always carrying it here. I don't like it. Okay? I don't like it. But you see, the things of God are spiritual. So it has nothing to do with your feelings. If you want to get better, there must be an action. There must be an action. If you want to get better, if you want to improve your relationship with God, there must be an action. It's not always easy. Sometimes, I'm sure if you ask your pastor, sometimes he doesn't feel like coming to church. It's not a thing. It's not that he's carnal. It's not easy. Try him if he's easy. You know? I just look at people that just look at pastors. They just keep talking, boom, 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 with so much disregard and just careless. So careless. They talk about pastors because you've heard one small Greek word. You just start jumping and saying all these things. I see some of them, they just give them ministry like this, boom, they will fall, they will disappear. They think it's not easy. It's really not easy. That's the thing of God. But it's an active thing to do. Paul said we should mortify our members, therefore. So he says, since you are risen with Christ, since you have received the gift of God, eternal life, by the indwelling of God's Spirit in you, since you have received something more than gold, I've got something more than gold. Since you've received God's life, you've received eternal life, an assurance of salvation, right? An assurance of the new life, where would be with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Since you've known that, it now says, therefore, mortify your members which are upon this earth. So there's a heavenly which is established. Now the earth must follow. You know why? Because God gave man the authority over the earth. So earthly things are meant to follow spiritual things. The man's authority must be exercised on this earth, including his body. So your body should not dictate how you act. All right? It is your place in Christ, in the Spirit, your relationship with God, the establishment that God has done for you in the Spirit by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is that is meant to dictate your conduct here on earth. It says, mortify them. Put them to death. How do you put them to death? We're going to that. It says, mortify your members. Look at it, verse 5. Mortify your members, therefore, which are upon this earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. Hallelujah. You know, fornication is a sin. I know we all know that here. I know we all know that. Fornication is a sin. And the truth of the matter, you think that... Some people say, No, but it's not easy. It's not easy. You have to. Yeah, you have to. It's not easy. That's the truth of the matter. It's not easy to stay as a man without sex, because the nature, the urge is always there as a man, as a guy, it's always there. But you see, Paul always says that if you want to have sex, go and marry. You know, go and marry. And if you've done that, obviously it does not change your place in Christ. But you must mortify your members that are upon this earth to live by God's leading, by your nature in Christ. You must mortify it. It's a sin. It has nothing to do with how you feel. Oh, but at the spur of the moment, that's how I felt. No. That's not God's will. You know, and I want to say that we live in a world today that people are fighting so hard to live in a world of fantasy, where they think that somehow, somewhere, in a globe, in a level, some dimension, you can live free of stress, where we are simply guided by the impulses of our body. Yeah, do whatever you feel like. You know, this world, just do whatever you feel like. Just live a free world. I saw one today. I can't even say it here. If I say it, look to sound somehow. But I mean, we are not meant to live like that. We are not meant to live like that. In the world where we live in today, people will say, "Oh, if you feel like you are attracted to same sex, for example, you know, go with it, go with it." I have Christian friends that, you know, they struggled a lot with these feelings, and they felt like they were, you know, homosexual, and they decided to, you know, just let it go. They just told us, say, "No, I've tried, I've confessed God's word and all of that, but still, I'm still feeling like that." Paul says you must put it to death. It's an active. You must. Yeah, you know, I keep saying that it's because of the world we are born into. We are so used to having things, or an illusion of having things, at the tip of our fingers. What I mean by that is, we are so programmed now by social media and by majorly social media, right? How we are so used to get, we don't have that patient approach to getting things. We just love quick fixes, quick things. You know, just confess God's word and then you've grown. No, friends, like my pastor would say, sometimes it takes years to grow, to get a simple concept. He gave an example of a pastor that he told the truth, and the pastor was shouting, righteousness of God in Christ. He was shouting and so excited. But he said 2 Sundays after, he met the guy preaching something the exact opposite of what he had taught him. And he was wondering, what happened? So then he said, some years later, that's my pastor now, he went to visit this man. And then he saw the books he was reading, very funny books. He was reading very, very funny books. And then he just sat down there quiet. He didn't say anything. And then the man came in and was looking at him, was like, I know you want to say, in his mind, was like, he gave him that attitude, that gesture. I knew you want to say something. I said, he was like, yes. But I didn't say anything. What is the problem? You know, but eventually they discussed, and he was like, why, what happened? Why all of this? Then the man started defending himself. So he had heard the truth initially, but you see, he had not, it didn't really sink in. It didn't take root, right? But you see, I think he said about 15 years later, this same pastor called Pastor Chris. I said, you know what, that thing you said, this, I now get it. I now understand it. It took him 15 years to understand the truth of God's word. So, well, what are we saying? The problem is that when we feel like we're not getting our results, we think, we doubt the truth. But that's not what God wants us to do. You must put to death your members. there must be that dogged attitude. We often read Hebrews, faith. By faith, the worlds were framed. The word faith there is conviction. Faith, it talks about how people persevered, even at the face of death. They never saw the promise, but they still believed. That promise came to pass after they had died. Was the promise fake? No. But they persevered. So we must be resolute about spiritual growth. Setting your mind on spiritual things. Do not beat yourself because you're not up there yet. Do not beat yourself. No, don't beat yourself because you're not up there yet. There is a process. There is a process that you must go through to become the person that God will have you be. Jesus had to go 40 days for him to be ready. I told you guys of the one that God has told me to do, but that's by the way. Paul had to stay 13 years, even after he had seen Jesus. Lord, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you persecute. For 13 years, he had to reorient himself. He had to grow spiritually. Paul had to, for 13 years. So, when you come out and say God's word is not true, God's word is not working, friend, it is working and it will always work. It says uncleanness, inordinate affection, abnormalities, like what I just told you, because you feel like you're attracted to the same sex. And then you say, oh, that's my nature. That's not true. That's not true. God's word is true. Amen. It says evil concupiscence. That's evil desire. And covetousness. Covetousness. You know, we all know what covetousness is. You know, we unknowingly even live in that age right now. Covetousness, where people want to be like, because you're looking at somebody, the person is looking all glamorous, you know, having established this, you know, you got this, you got that, got money, all that stuff. You're seeing that on, you know, Instagram and the rest of them. And you feel like you're back there. You're not there yet. That's covetousness. That's a carnal desire. It's not godly. God doesn't want you to have such pressure. I didn't even realize. I don't know if I shared it with you guys. I didn't even realize I was getting into anxiety some time ago. I wasn't sleeping again. I wasn't sleeping at night because I had to get so much done. So much done. And I was getting into anxiety. I did not know I was getting too worried about worldly affairs. I did not know. To me, it was just being hardworking. It was just being productive. But it got to a point where I was losing my sleep, guys. So that is what he's saying here. Covetousness, which is idolatry. You see that? Idolatry. It says, for which thing's sake, the wrath of God. I think we have not talked about the wrath of God here, but we will definitely do that. I will talk about the wrath of God when I'm done on this. Yeah? When I'm done with this. You guys know this book, right? This is Chris's book. Pastor Chris's book. This is our God. When I'm done with this book, I can talk about the wrath of God. But essentially, the wrath of God just simply means the reactions that we see when sin is done. You know, the negative consequences of that, not from God, not God's activity. All right? So, for this thing's sake, the wrath of God, that is a consequence of sin, comes upon the children of disobedience. All right? Praise God. It says, in which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now, you also put off these. Put off anger. Anger. Anger is not any way justified. You are so angry. It's not justified. It's a work of the flesh. It is earthly. It is carnal. Anger. You should not be angry. You shouldn't be angry. Put it off. Put it off. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Filthy. Some of us only talk well when we're in church. No, you do not lose your nature in Christ after church. You are still who you are in Christ forever. So everywhere you go, your communication must not be filthy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It says, lie not one to another. That's a good one. Lie not. Praise God. Do not lie. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Hallelujah. You know, we have put off the old man with his deeds. Praise God. Say, I've put off the old man with his deeds. I've put off carnal desires. Amen. With his deeds. Yeah. We have put it off. We have put it off. We have put off the old man with his deeds. You know, the old man has desires too. It's not just deeds. He has desires. So desires have to be changed from carnal to spiritual. Yeah. How do you change bad habits? You change bad habits not by beating yourself, not by being unnecessarily, you know, full of self-pity. You deal with bad habits not by condemnation. You deal with bad habits by feeding yourself with spiritual things, setting your affection. I think it was Pastor Adebo Ali said, choke yourself with spiritual things, with God's word. So it says, you have put off the old man, all right, with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So that's a renewal thing. So now let's just verse 12. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, that's an activity as well, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, that's tender mercies. Put on tender mercies, kindness. The kindness is not an outdated thing. Being kind is a godly thing. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against another, even as Christ forgave you, so do you forgive. Somebody has hurt you, forgive. Even as Christ forgave you, forgive. Be kind, be humble. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's verse 15. I hope you're following with our Bibles. It says, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, 16 then says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Hallelujah. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So, Paul here tells us how to mortify, set your affection in God's word. Heavenlies. You know that you're seated in the heavens, but you have to set your affection on the heavens. And that is when you grow spiritually. That's when you grow. That's when you begin to do things for God. Begin to go, just do things for God. Because Jesus will burn your heart. I look forward to times like that where we meet physically and we just, Jesus will burn your heart. He will burn your heart. You know, when people, someone say, I saw Jesus, they will just make it as if it's billboard. I saw Jesus. It just appeared to me. So, Do you know that? It's more than just seeing Jesus. Jesus will burn your heart. That is, it's as though you can see Jesus in your heart. You are having a vision. His emotions will burn you. His heart will burn you. When you give yourself to the word, to his word, and to fellowship with him. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Do not allow anything to dwell more in your heart than the word of God. Do not allow yourself to be more concerned about things than God's word. It's a difficult thing. But you have that responsibility as men that God has created here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. We have that responsibility. Hear God's word. Hear God's word. Listen to his word. Read the word. Pray. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Spiritual things. Spiritual matters. Because this world is ruled and governed by God's spirit. I don't misunderstand what I just said. I don't even know where to look at. Please don't misunderstand what I just said. All right, I'm not saying everything that happens, it happens by God's spirit. This world is a spiritual place. Yeah. And the things that we as believers do are spiritual activities. Spiritual growth doesn't come by intellect. It doesn't come by wish at all. Nah. You don't grow. You don't get better by wishing it or by thinking or rationalizing it. You don't know God better simply by listening to tapes. Listening to messages online. Yeah, tapes can see flow. You don't grow like that. You grow by engaging yourself in the Word of God. You must read the Bible. Mandagoya. You must read the Bible. I wish I could see you guys' faces. You must read the Bible. You must read God's word. Let it dwell richly. It will dwell in you richly with no wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another. Now, this has to do with fellowship. So your fellowship with believers helps you grow spiritually. You must find a place to be dwelling. You must find a body of believers, friends who are believers. I tell you the truth. Let me end with this. I tell you the truth. If you do not read God's word, if you do not hear God's word, good enough. Okay? If you do not hear his word constantly, you will start hearing other things. Mm-hmm. You will start hearing other things, and when you start hearing other things, you'd lose sight of your father. You lose sight of your the value of God, the value that God has placed on you. You lose sight of it. You lose sight of the things of God. You lose sight of it. It will become very, strange to you. At some point, you won't start looking at people that are speaking in tongues. What's going on? I'm speaking in tongues, because you have shifted your focus. We have that. It's necessary. It's not just a command. Mm-mm. It's important. It's important for us to grow. It's important for us to grow, because we have, number one, we have been saved from this world, and then since you are saved, you are brought to a new life, brought to a new purpose, or the purpose of God. So for you to fulfill God's purpose, for you to be able to do what God wants you to do on earth, you have to be given to him. It's not easy, but guess what? Although it's not easy, it is the most blissful, loving, oh my goodness, the experience is amazing. God's word. Praise the Lord. So we must be given to God's word. Let it dwell in you richly. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, singing and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. You sing songs unto God. It's not every time you're just praying. You must pray. Don't get me wrong. You sing to God. Sometimes when I'm praying, I just start singing to God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, you are worthy. And as I sing, it just burns my heart. And I begin to shout. In fact, I try my best. In this place that I'm staying, I cannot be shouting too much. I was talking to my friend. I said, brother, where can I find bush? I started praying, bushes and all of that. I need to find one. When I'm traveling long journeys, I always be just looking at the bushes. I say, God, see prayer center. See where I can go and do what I want to really do. It's true. It's the truth. Because I must tell you guys, you know, here I will tell you people anything I won't tell you. You know, the way it, let me tell you plainly. If you want to really give yourself to God, if you want to grasp, if you want to touch, before I start sounding like these mystical people, if you want to touch, you know, if you want to feel God's power, if you want to be awakened to the Spirit of God within you, you want to grow, friends, you cannot do it in a normal way. I was asking my friend, say, how do you pray when you want to pray? He say he just takes a walk. I say, me take a walk. If I want to pray, I'll take a walk. Me that I'll turn to a madman on the road. You cannot see me on the road praying though. Say I'm taking a walk to pray. If I don't go to a bush, I don't know how I'll feel. I must go somewhere where I can shout. And it's not just shouting because I just want to shout. No. It's because when you want to commune with God, right? It's not always like that, don't get me wrong. You know, when you want to sometimes give yourself to God, you just want to let go of every concern. You just want to let go of every concern. And it makes you to behave like a crazy person. You don't want to see me there. You really do not want to see me. Because it's going to be a mixture of sanity, insanity, melancholy, and ecstasy. It's just... You can't understand it. Even when I'm praying, you know, the natural man will say, what's going on? But I see at the point, you don't care. You just pray. It's not like you're running around. You just running to where? No. It's not like you're stomping on the floor. You're just running. And I saw a friend of mine was posting something. I had to close now. A friend of mine was posting something and she was mocking. I saw one. I don't know if you guys have seen the video on the internet. The guy was praying and shouting, and they were like, God, leave this one. Answer this guy's prayer. He's shouting too much. And I said, this is exactly how to pray. I thought that this is how Jesus even prayed. She says, really? Prove it for me. Prove it to me. And I did. I showed her the scriptures and she was like, okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. People didn't know. They didn't know. And then somebody said, Christianity is obsolete. How won't it be obsolete when you don't know what you're meant to be doing, you know? I want this atheist have mouth to be opening and talking nonsense, rubbish. When you're not doing your work, you must do it. Sometimes, see, if you want to grow, let me just tell you, you cannot grow. You cannot grow. When I mean grow, I mean you cannot develop stature, stamina by attending prayer meetings alone. Even if you pray 50 hours. I know I attended WCC. We prayed that many hours. You know, 29 hours. I know the difference between that meeting and the personal prayers that I have. I know it's different. It's 100%. That one, what you're doing there is corporate prayers. Agreements. It's also training. It's supposed to train you to do the same thing on your own. When you do it, you see, that's the thing about it. People think that when you've heard God's word and when you've prayed, you're growing. No. The place you really grow is when you go and do your assignment. It's when you go and, because what you're doing, what is happening is God is still giving you direction on what to do. Yeah, you get blessed. There's an impartation to it. There's a grace that's released. God's spirit is working in you. Now, it's working in you so that you can now begin to do that thing for yourself. Just God said, and every man will know him. Every man will know him. Every man. You will know God on your own, by yourself. You would have that relationship with God. You won't have to depend. God uses men to raise you, to groom you, to train you so that you can be able to do things on your own. That's the truth of the matter. I tell you the truth. All the meetings I've had on my own, prayers I've had, they're completely different. Absolutely different from prayer meetings. Sometimes even in prayer meetings, I just gauge. I look at when I want to pray. Like today in church when we are praying, I look everybody. I say, if I start praying the way I want to pray, these people think I'm mad. But I know I'm in the midst of believers, right? But I know I cannot really pray the way I really want to pray, and that's the truth. That's the truth. It's different when you're having it alone. So that's the thing. Why do you think Jesus went to a desert? He often went to a place, a lonely place, to do all these things. Jesus said, and I close with this, I've said this how many times now. Jesus said, not Jesus now, the book of Hebrews says that we do not have a high priest that does not understand our affections. It is completely normal for you not to like prayers. I don't always like prayers. That's the truth. I don't. But just like you brush your teeth every morning, even when you don't like, when some people don't like it, though you have your bath every day because you know you need to, you must pray. It's part of your routine. It's part of it. You must pray because hallelujah, praise God, amen. So guys, that is God's word. I just have to close now. I know we didn't spend up to an hour teaching, but we did anyways. Generally, that's God's word for you. That's God's word for us today. You must realize that it's something that you can do, and that's why we are here. We're going to be talking about this much more, spiritual growth, talking about God's word for us. Hallelujah. Let's just say, God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy. Lord, I just ask, oh God, Lamandoske. Just say, God, thank you for your word this evening. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we just, please, since you're just 5 years, let's unmute our mics and just pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Guys, please unmute your mic if you can. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just say, God, I thank you because you will help me. Mando, Jevri, Kazo, Pratali, Kazoza. I can't hear you guys. What's going on? Mongo, Shinda, Braha, Kazoza. Embru, Shakila, Barada, Go, Shakia. I can't hear you guys. Ombra, Shando, Jevri, Kazoza, Prana, Gile, Zoza, Fraga, Desha, Kola. Mambro, Jeza, Kola, Zika, Tana, Manga, Zoza, Vriga, Zoza. Embru, Shakiza, Manda, Zoza, Praga, Dosh. Mandoja Kile Braga Souza Franagela Badoja. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Manda Zuza. Amen. Alright, that's it. That's it for tonight. Thank you, Lord. So quickly before we leave, does anyone have a question or something they want to share before we leave here? Thank you, Lord.